Okay, with that, I'm going to go ahead and start then on the next session, implementing the e-extension Ask an Expert program with Master Gardener volunteers. In 2010, I attended the California Master Gardener Conference, UC Davis, and Karen Jeanette, who was formerly kind of our liaison with e-extension, was promoting the Ask an Expert program and trying to encourage states to get involved. And I was very intrigued by this program because at that time, we were going through some severe budget cuts. And in 2011, we lost 23 agricultural natural resource educators in the state. And that loss really meant that we had some issues with answering consumer gardening or home gardening questions. So as I started to put this program in mind and to plan it out, I thought, you know, there are some counties that had an educator but had no Master Gardener program. So as an ag educator, they were focusing more on agricultural issues, and the home horticulture issues were really at the bottom of the list. Or counties didn't have either Master Gardener program or ag educator. So we basically had very few people in Ohio who were there in extension to answer those gardening questions. So in 2011, I decided we would implement the e-extension Ask an Expert, and I changed the name in Ohio to Ask a Master Gardener. Ask an Expert is a little intimidating to Master Gardener volunteers. They're not experts, and we don't want them to think they are experts. So we changed the name to Ask a Master Gardener. My two goals with the program was to assist those counties who didn't have that expertise or that staff, and also to become the go-to resource for consumer horticulture. And I'm sure you've seen and heard papers, you know, with search engine optimization, extension is not up there at the top when it comes to gardening questions. It saves garden, all the other .com. So therefore, we need to really try to figure out a way to become that go-to resource for gardening questions. In December of 2011, I sent an email out to my county coordinators explaining the program, introducing the program to them, and said I'm going to start recruiting Master Gardener volunteers. Now, there were some criteria, some expectations. The Master Gardener volunteers had to be in good standing. They had to have their service hours, their continuing ed credits, pay their state support fees, and be in good standing with the program. In addition, the county coordinator had to recommend them. We've had several people say, I'd like to do that, but we have to go through that county coordinator who says, yes, this person is qualified to serve as an Ask a Master Gardener. And it's typically somebody who likes to serve on the helpline or likes to do plant diagnostics, likes to get involved with that research part of it. So I came back with about 100 people, or we came back with 100 volunteers who were very interested in this program. We gave them their expectations. Here's what you need to do, and here's what we'll do for you. First of all, the expectation was that they would attend two online trainings. And those two online trainings were the first one giving them the expectations of the program, kind of giving them an overview of what the program was about. And then the second training was the logistics, how to actually do the online system. So with the first training, we went from 100 to 80 people, which was good because my goal that first training was to say, hey, this is what we're doing. You need to be available, you need to have a computer, you need to be able to research and answer these questions within 24 hours. By giving them those expectations, then we lost a few people, which is exactly what I wanted to happen if they weren't, consistently committed to this. The second training was a webinar for logistics. We introduced the e-extension system. We got them set up with a password username. We showed them how the questions were going to come in and what it looked like, what the dashboard looked like. And probably my biggest challenge with these two trainings was just getting Master Gardeners used to doing a webinar. I can't hear. That whole webinar, the Karma Connect, Adobe Connect, whatever system you use, just that alone was a challenge. So we developed a tutorial and a kind of an etiquette for doing webinars so that you didn't have dogs barking in the background, clocks ringing, things like that. So that was probably the biggest challenge in doing the webinars. The other really important thing was that we gave them an opportunity to practice. I developed a practice widget. So our original regular widget for asking questions, answering questions, is OSUE_state_MGVs. Then we have one that's like that that's called test. So we opened up the test widget that is completely internal. It doesn't go public. We gave each Master Gardener an opportunity to get on there, submit a question so they see what the user does, and then answer a question. And then we kind of monitored as that process went on to make sure, you know, this is what they're doing and what they should be doing. So those test questions were very important. In February, administration, February 2012, when we were getting ready to implement this, came to me, and they were going to implement the Ask an Expert statewide. So all staff, all employees, everybody was going to be required to do Ask an Expert program. At that time, they asked me, well, what are your plans for monitoring the program? And what I was going to do originally was to follow Minnesota's footsteps and recruit a couple of volunteers to do the monitoring, to kind of be the management of that program. But they were so supportive of this program that they provided $30,000 a year for 3 years for marketing, knowing that we want to get the word out on this program. We created displays, magnets, brochures, and then also that money was to be used for training. And that's kind of the incentive, the carrot to keep our Master Gardener volunteers involved in this program, is to give them training that not all the other Master Gardener volunteers would have access to. This is something special over and above their normal training. In addition, they also allow me to hire a program manager. I'm 0.5 FTE state coordinator and 0.5 FTE in a county. Therefore, it was just me 50% of the time managing the program. So at that time, they said, you know, this is what we can do. We can hire somebody to help oversee the Master Gardener, Ask a Master Gardener program, and also the Master Gardener program in general. So that was pretty exciting for me and showed their commitment to this program statewide. Just a couple things on logistics. We have two portals of entry. The bottom that you see here, this is on our state webpage. This is a widget that we created. If you do the Ask an Expert, you can create your own widget. This is the widget that we created that takes questions and sends them directly to Master Gardener volunteers. So think of Master Gardener volunteers standing in line, waiting for that next question. This directly sends them through the system. The extension widget is set up so that it goes to four wranglers within OSU system. So these four wranglers across the state get the question first, and then they divide it up and send it out to those people who should be answering those questions. That takes a little extra time. One of our goals for our Master Gardeners was to answer these questions within 24 hours. With e-extension, you have like 48 hours. The consumer gets a notice that says your question will be answered within 48 hours. We set that goal of 24, and those of you who work with Master Gardener volunteers know how overachieving they are and how much they really like to do this. They're on top of it, and they're well under the 24-hour response time. So it's really good to see that. So this widget going directly to our volunteers saves that additional step of going to a wrangler and then a volunteer. The other thing that we're doing, when a person clicks on a county office and goes to that question, Ask an Expert, there's a landing page that also has this icon as well as just kind of a general icon. So we're trying to encourage people that have backyard gardening questions to go directly here. Now, one of the concerns was, well, what if they come up with a commercial question, a lawn care question, a lawn care applicator, and so forth. And so what occurred then is, if they get any kind of commercial question, they're required to send it back to our program manager who's overseeing the program. And we haven't had any issues with that come up. We've had a couple commercial questions. But, you know, in their training, they know that this is one of the most important things, is to send those commercial questions back to somebody who will then answer those questions. This is the thing I think that's the most telling about the success of this program. Over 50% of our questions are consumer horticulture. And this has been holding steady since we've been doing the program, and it is again steady again this year. If you look nationwide, it's also very close to 50% of the questions coming in are consumer horticulture. In fact, the first year I did this, we had the highest amount of questions nationwide in consumer gardening questions, and the next highest was down like to the horse community getting those questions. And there was a huge gap in numbers of questions coming in. So to me, this indicates a real need for consumer horticulture responses and for extension to be involved in this effort. In terms of what you would need for this and what we provide, marketing is important. One of the issues, the counties came up and said, well, we have this helpline. Are you going to take away from our helpline questions? And I had to encourage them, this isn't going to take away from your phone calls coming into the county. This is going to enhance your services. This is going to give people an additional opportunity, those online people who don't use the phone, who want to go online and get their questions answered. So I think people finally saw that after a year or so, that it didn't decrease the number of phone calls coming into the offices. We also provide them with magnets, brochures, displays that they could promote this. And so for those counties that didn't have an educator or an ag educator or Master Gardener program, if they go to the county fair, they can give people this information and say, go here and get your questions answered. So it's keeping extension out there in front of the public that we are able to answer consumer gardening questions. Again, as I mentioned, training is critical. And if we can give these volunteers, you know, they eat up this education. If we can give them programs that are over and above what other master gardeners get, this keeps them more interested and excited in the program. So we do webinars on a regular basis. We have a monthly webinar during the growing season. We focus on current topics, what's happening, invasive issues that might be occurring, and also plant diagnostics. One of the biggest and most important webinars was how to submit a sample to the clinic. We were getting some real challenges with people sending samples that, they send dead branches and want them diagnosed. So we went through with our Master Gardener volunteers, and if somebody wants to send a sample, here's the process on getting a good sample and a good diagnosis. We also do face-to-face programs, and we have diagnostic workshops that we'll pay for them. So some of that money is used to spend for a Master Gardener volunteer to attend one of our diagnostic workshops. And then this year we introduced diagnostic walkabouts where they're actually interacting with some of our specialists and educators out in the landscape, walking around looking at this particular insect, this particular problem. So again, that hands-on training, that information is really important. We got to keep these guys motivated. Each year I recruit in December. It's not a come whenever you want to. We have a very rigorous, very standard recruiting program. December we recruit, January we train. We try to hit those counties that don't have somebody so that we can really get it spread across the state. So we have currently about 103 active volunteers that are working on the program, and for the most part, pretty much 75-85% retention in terms of keeping those volunteers. We continue to give feedback. If they answer a question, in a great way, we have one volunteer that is just way, probably too much answer as far as, the quality and quantity. But we tell them, this was a great answer, and then we'll use that as a good example for all the others. We've had a couple comments or a couple questions where people may not necessarily use research-based information. So we'll go back in, we'll gently correct that, and make sure that they're on target. We provide email updates on, hey, this pest is happening right now, you might be getting these questions. We keep updating resources for them. You can see some of the slide programs that we've done, and they're online available at their own leisure to view. Advanced training, as I said. And then we survey. We're currently working right now on a survey of our volunteers and also of the public. And one of the downsides to eExtension is they send a survey randomly out to people who answer that question. We don't get that information back, so we don't necessarily know how our Ohio clientele are replying and how they like our service. So we're developing a survey to send specifically to our Ohio clientele. And then, of course, regularly thanking the volunteers. That's just kind of common with volunteer management, that it has to be a definite regular thanking. One of the things that we found that extension educators now can focus on other issues. So those ag educators and even horticulture educators aren't answering those, and I don't want to say lower level, but those common, this is Japanese beetles, here's what you do, everyday questions. So they're able to focus on more strategic issues. Our extension director has said more than once that this position is paid many times over for itself. So the money he's investing in the program manager and the resources has paid for itself in the amount of time that we are saving those educators. And again, public recognition that we're a resource. We're still working on this. We're still trying to get that information out there. We're still spending money on marketing, but we want the public to recognize that OSU Extension is a resource as a result of this program. Are there any questions?